Hear the word of God, as it's written in the Old Testament book of the prophet Micah, chapter 5, reading verses 2 to 5a. This can be found on page 706 of the Pew Bibles. Micah's prophetic words are easily recognizable to us 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus, but would have been a mysterious wonder into the hearts of those who first heard them hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Micah 5, reading from verse 2. Hear the word of God. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. Then at last, his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world, and he will be the source of peace. Here ends the first reading. I'm going to return to God's word. To the Gospel according to St. John chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 5 and 9 to 14. This can be found on page 809 of the Pew Bibles. John reveals the true identity of the baby born in a lowly stable in Bethlehem. John chapter 1, reading from verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his Word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Boys and girls, this is the part of the service that's called the sermon. It's a long, boring bit when I get to talk for ages. So, if you get any questions or say something you don't understand, just remember them in your head and you can ask your grown-up when you get back what it means, okay? Because they'll explain it all to you. Because they're paying attention. Throughout the last few weeks, we have been looking at clips from the film Miracle on 34th Street to help us look at some of the miracles of Christmas. We looked at various clips, but we have never discussed the basic plot of the film. If I was to ask you what it was, I'm sure most would say it's about a little girl who gets her seemingly impossible Christmas wish come true. But the basic plot of the film is not about the fulfillment of some young girl's Christmas wish. It's about identity. In the opening scene from the movie that we saw just a wee while ago, the basic plot of the film is revealed.
The embarrassed man with his grandson apologizes for his grandson staring at the white bearded stranger and tells Chris that his grandson thinks he is Santa Claus. After Chris bursts out into laughter, he leans down to the young lad and says in his ear,
"I am."
How biblical is that? For that's what God did way back in the second book of the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses was sent to the people of Israel to lead them out of slavery in Egypt. He asked God what he would say when they asked what God's name was. God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you." Two small words, three simple letters, I am. If anyone was to ask you who you are, you would not reply with only two words. You would use a minimum of three, probably four, because you would add something descriptively, like, I am a boy, I am a man, I am a father, I am a grandfather. The bit we add is always changing because we are never the same person we were yesterday. But God is not the same as we are. God is the same today as he was yesterday, as he is today, as he will be tomorrow. In the movie, Kris Kringle genuinely believes he is Santa Claus. And the rest of the film is the unfolding of evidence to support that claim. In the Bible, the Lord repeatedly tells us that he is the great I Am and supports that claim with evidence if we only have eyes to see it and ears to hear. When Moses asked God for his name, why did God leave out all the other wonderfully important details and awe-inspiring adjectives that he could have used to enhance his own resume or CV? At no better time do the words less is more hold more truth. God's unvarnished, powerfully simplistic, two small words say more about this most awesome God than a whole novel could. They assure us that not one miraculous trait defining our God could ever be left out. I am says it all. The teachings of the Bible guide us to believe that those two words are profoundly meant to be followed by whatever we need them to say and whoever we need God to be at any moment and any time. We get to continuously fill in the blanks as we need. And there's no limit to how many times or how many chances we get to fill in those spaces. We can unceasingly call on him. He is what we need when we need it. He's never on vacation, never asleep on the job. He's not too busy with more important things. He's never too tired, too angry, too frustrated or too overwhelmed to be whatever it is we need. His customer service ranks the best of all. He never puts us on hold or lets our message go to voicemail. When we are sad, depressed or lonely, God is our loving, kind friend, saviour and counsellor. He is our bountiful provider when we fall on hard times. God is our divine healer when we are sick. He is our mighty protector who guards us and keeps us safe and free from harm. He is the teacher that fills us with knowledge and wisdom and orders our steps. He is the architect that draws the plans for our lives. He anoints us with talents, abilities, ease, and purpose. God is the Prince and Author of Peace. He will go to battle for us and fight for us. He is our deliverer. He is our dwelling place, our secret safe haven of hidden security. He is our unbridled joy. He is our towering strength. He is our restored energy when we are exhausted. He is our motivator when we need encouragement. He is our shoulder to cry on and our voice of reason. God is the master of miracles and the supernatural creator of everything. He fulfills our dreams. He validates us. He is our hope and our future. God is our infallible guide on this path of life. He is the very essence of our being, and he is the definition of pure love. He is, after all is said and done, the great I am. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 8, Jesus said to the crowd around him, "I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am." The people who heard him knew what he meant. They knew that he was claiming to be God, for they picked up stones to throw at him for blasphemy. In the gospel, Jesus genuinely believes that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. In the miracle on 34th Street, Kris Kringle genuinely believes that he is Santa Claus. Now, the idea of meeting not just a department store Santa and not just some well-meaning man with a pillow in his belt and a fake beard on his face, but the real Santa Claus. The thought of meeting the real Santa Claus is a Christmas dream come true. Now, I recognize that we live in a skeptical world. And I would certainly agree that we have come by that skepticism honestly. Because we all know people who make false and fraudulent claims. Yet, despite the skepticism, there is something about the story of Christmas that catches our attention and draws us in. And as the story unfolds, there springs forth this childish hope that perhaps this Kris Kringle really is Santa Claus. Could he really be? What if he is? And if he is who he says he is, how sad not to be recognized. How tragic to be thought of as a fraud. Those are the kinds of questions asked about the miracle of Christmas. Who is this baby lying in the manger? Could he really be who everyone says that he is? What if he is? The big question to be answered in the movie is also the big question to be answered in the birth of Jesus. It is a question of identity. Who exactly is this child we find in the manger of Bethlehem? Could he be who he claims to be? The old gentleman with a white beard and friendly smile claims to not just be a Santa, but the Santa. Kris Kringle, St. Nicholas, the one and only Santa Claus. And we can't help but smile as we ponder the possibility. Something within us compels us want to believe. Of course, we know better, do we not? Consider for a moment this miracle of the manger and the astonishing claims about this child. Into the humblest of circumstances, Jesus is born. His mother is an ordinary young girl named Mary. His birthplace is a stable, a barn, and a small, obscure, small town called Bethlehem. Yet, Jesus came making astonishing claims that centered on his identity. He claimed to be sent from God, to be the Son of God, and even one with God. The angel announced to shepherds that this baby was Christ the Lord. As an adult, Jesus claimed to be the bread of heaven and living water that alone could satisfy our deepest hungers. Jesus claimed the authority to forgive our sins and to offer freely his grace and mercy. Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection, the only hope of escaping God's judgment, the only path to eternal life. Jesus claimed all authority in heaven and earth, and he promised to return to judge the world in righteousness. What do you make of such radical claims? There are some who will ignore them altogether. There are those who, while being very respectful of Jesus, don't take his astonishing claims seriously. The religion of Islam teaches that Jesus was a prophet and teacher. The Hindu religion teaches that Jesus is the one way, is one way of many of finding God. Many people want to admire Jesus from a distance and say he's just a nice man with a beard. C.S. Lewis explained that Jesus did not leave us with that option of just respecting him as a good, noble teacher. His own claims leave no room for that position, even though it is very popular. We really only have three options concerning what to make of those astounding claims of Jesus. Either he was who he claimed to be, the Lord of all, or he made those claims knowing they were false, and therefore he was a liar. Or thirdly, he made those claims because he believed them to be true, but in reality they were not, which makes him deceived or a lunatic. When it comes to the astonishing claims made by Jesus, there are only those three conclusions that we can choose from. He is the Lord, he is a liar, or he is a deceived lunatic. He cannot be just a nice man with a beard. What then, if he is who he claims to be? Part of the drama of the movie is the increasing evidence that suggests that Kris Kringle really is Santa. But every character in the story has to decide for themselves what they believe about Kris Kringle. Some want the old man declared insane and put away, but many others are ready to support his claim to be the real Santa Claus. What about this child born in Bethlehem? What if his claims are true? Think for a moment about the incredible implications. What if that Jesus is someone who knows your name? Who knows when you're sleeping? And he knows when you're awake. And yes, he knows when you've been bad or good. And yet, he loves you and longs for you to know and love him. What if that child in Bethlehem really is the miracle of the manger? What if Jesus really is who he claims to be? If he is, then you and I have a decision to make, a matter of eternal significance for each one of us. What we decide about that child born in Bethlehem not only determines our eternal destiny, it also determines our earthly direction as well. We cannot accept his claims without also recognizing that he has staked a claim in our lives. If he is who he says he is, then all of his promises are true. He really can wipe away a painful past and take away our burden of guilt and regret. He can give us a whole new reason to live and fill us with a fullness of his love, his life, his grace, his peace. Do you believe? we must consider all the questions and answers for ourselves. No one can decide for us when it comes to this miracle of the manger. In the movie, there is a final courtroom scene that represents the real moment of decision. But when we consider this child in Bethlehem, there is an important change, an awesome reversal, a dramatic change of roles for you and for me. When we come before Christ, we do not sit in judgment of him. It is Jesus Christ who is Lord and King. This miracle of the manger is God in the flesh. He is judge of all, the living and the dead. We do not determine his fate. It is Jesus Christ who will determine our final destiny. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body." The miracle of the manger is that God became flesh and lived among us. He came not so that he could send us to eternal punishment, but to set us free. God became human so that we could become children of God. If you will open your heart to Christ and trust him to be exactly who he claimed to be, you will not be disappointed. Christ will prepare a place for you, a wonderful new home where you will spend eternity. If Jesus Christ is not yet in the center of your heart, but you desire that he was, then please join with me in saying silently these words as we pray. Dear God, I do believe the miracle of the manger. I do believe that this child born in Bethlehem is exactly who he claimed to be. He is God in the flesh, the Lord of life and Saviour for all who call upon him in faith. Lord, I have heard the Christmas story, but I want to know you in a way that is real and personal. I want to follow you and experience this miracle of Christmas in my own life. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let me know the joy of walking with you throughout my journey on earth and spending forever with you in heaven. Use me to extend your kingdom here on earth until that day when you return or you call me home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.